It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Hey, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me, as 85% always, is my co-host, Steven. And Lauren Fates, the Geek Girl Chicago, is back.
I'm so excited to be here.
Woo. It's been a while.
We're excited to have you back.
Were you married when you were here last time?
I don't... Maybe? I mean, I got married...
You were engaged. I know
that. It was
that.
Last April that I got married, so it's been about a year. If you guys haven't invited me back for a year, I'd be disappointed.
Hosts. I think you've been back.
I invite you back all the time, but I never have a topic. Just pretty much every time we talk on Facebook, I'm like, come back!
What are we talking about?
I don't care!
We don't know.
Thanks, guys.
I like to have a different third person in the room.
Right. John's just sick of talking to me every week.
Yeah, well, sometimes Steven doesn't know anything.
Like today.
Like today!
You gave me a topic this time, though, and so I came prepared.
I did. The big news this week is that the X-Files is officially coming back.
To television.
To Fox, yes, as a 6-episode miniseries, much in the way they just did 24.
Okay.
Which was successful. So it's been 13 years since the show's been on.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
we are ancient.
Time.
Yeah, it has been 7 years since the last movie.
Wow.
Which
all right, so the show ended 13 years ago, and then a few years after that, they're like, let's do another movie.
Yeah, they tried to bring it back as a movie, and then the movie came out against Dark Knight and Iron Man.
Ooh, that's why I don't remember it.
Yeah, it did.
Because I think I was like, Iron Man is a movie! It's like
basically, everything that summer that wasn't Dark Knight or Iron Man did not...
You don't remember.
Yeah, nobody...
Even stuff that you should have cared about, like X-Files. Mm-mm.
Yeah, nope. Although X-Files wasn't great. Hellboy 2 came out that summer and was just destroyed.
Never
and
even...
that was good!
I probably saw it, but I don't remember it.
Yeah,
I remember Iron Man 1, though.
The Clone Wars movie came out that summer. Nobody saw it. They just started watching the show.
Oh.
They did that as a movie first.
Really?
See?
Oh, yeah, the animated Clone Wars.
Yeah, the animated Clone Wars. It launched as a movie in theaters in the summer and then started in the fall.
That's a rough gig.
To be against Dark Knight and Iron Man.
Right.
Kind of like being against Avengers and Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, it's like, why would you even bother making films
right.
that year?
But, it worked out perfectly for everyone's schedule, I said, because Californication is done. Gillian Anderson is doing the The Netflix series, The Fall. I don't know if that's done, but she's not immediately going into a new season. So they were free. And Chris Carter had a show on Amazon that didn't get picked up.
So you think that's kind of, they've all been like talking about this for a while. Like, oh, it'd be good. We should get back and, you know,
Yeah, definitely.
I know they have been. If you, you know, do the research, I did a little bit of wikiing last night. They wanted to have a 2012 movie and talked about it pretty seriously because they keep wanting to bring the franchise back.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the TV show was already a possibility then or if it just got dropped, but they've been talking about it this whole time.
Wow.
Yeah, they've been trying to do something with it because in the final episode, they said 2012 was going to be the big alien invasion. And now it's going to be 2016 by the time the show comes out. So there's got to be a point of like...
The aliens got stuck in traffic on Saturn. we were going to be here by 2012, but those rings of Saturn, they're just so pretty.
We decided to conquer 3 other planets.
I think they should just make it post-invasion and have it be just post-apocalyptic. Just terrible. I'm sure that wouldn't sit with people right, but
it'd be nice to do it as like a post-apocalyptic with them maybe like flashbacks, like here's what happened, you know, because it's like my mom has this problem with like apocalypse movies like The Road and Walking Dead.
The Road is,
and you don't actually ever see how we got there.
And then I tried to explain, I'm like, Mom, you know, if the world ends tomorrow, who's going to tell you what happened? She's like, well, the president. I'm like, nah, the president will either be dead or in a bunker. You'll never see him again. Who is going to tell you? All satellites are gone. Like, there's no TV. If it's just like The Walking Dead, how are you going to know? Oh, that's ridiculous. Somebody would tell us.
And have
it's just
you
like,
guys
that,
ever...
When a parent says that's ridiculous, they want the conversation to end.
Yeah.
I have nothing left.
My
have
mom says that to me a lot.
No, have you guys ever played the video game Fallout 3?
No.
My roommate did, I've seen it.
It's post-apocalyptic, and I bring it up because the president is on the radio, and he is addressing America and saying everything's going to be okay, and you find out, spoiler alert, if you didn't play this game that came out years ago, the president is just like an AI. He's just a computer and barely more than a recording.
Yeah.
But there are people, mostly elderly, going around saying, the president's going to save us, but no, it's a computer.
Yeah.
That's like an Up when Fred Willard keeps coming on. He's like the only live action thing. No, not Up. Wally.
Yeah, Wally.
Oh,
Wally.
Yeah.
I think Fred Willard should be in every Pixar movie.
Yeah, not clearly.
Hey, look at that old guy in the balloons.
In your headcanon, he's in all of them.
Although they said the Walking Dead spinoff show, Fear the Walking Dead, which they've announced the title for, is going to start before the apocalypse.
Oh, so then we will kind of
get up. So that's the show where we're going to see how the Walking Dead happens.
Yeah. And it's interesting. But like I said, you know, so that might be an interesting way for them to take the show is to, you know, do the post, hey, we're so confused, this is terrible, this is an alien apocalypse, and then before be like, this is how this shit went down.
Yeah, but would it still be the X-Files? Because the X-Files was all about secrets and...
Yeah, now, so I didn't prepare for this show, like, every show I'm on for this, and...
You had 25 years to prepare for this.
Yeah, and I never did. So, so the X-Files, my understanding, my sister, my older sister, Jean, was always into it, I think, and my understanding was the X-Files was like, brings you right to the edge of, like, there might be aliens, and then never takes that final step past, like, nope, there's an alien. Is that, am I wrong here?
For many, many seasons, that was it.
Yeah.
The show did end with a confirmed aliens are coming in 2012, so we 100%, you know, believe that and know it to be. It's at the point where the end of the series is basically Mulder and Scully cuddling, saying, we're effed. Oh, well, at least we have each other. The end, like credits.
Wow.
Like Steve Carell and Keira Knightley in Waiting for a Friend at the End of the World.
That's incredible.
It's kind of like the world's going to end. But then the second movie, which was four or six years later, they're just still kind of like, neither one of them works for the FBI anymore. And
it's
like,
pre-invasion. We should be worried about this.
Right. Yeah, well,
you're now 4 years closer to the invasion.
And that was one of the problems of that second movie, was that all the fans were thinking, oh, we're going to get a payoff.
Yeah.
And instead, they just try to do like a little self-contained story with just Mulder and Scully. And I remember Camille Nanjiani was in New York. I was doing stand-up with him, and I knew him. And he now does the X-Files Files podcast. So he's like an expert. And I asked him the week it came out what it was like, and he's like, it was like meeting your prom date again, and now she's a stripper.
No.
It was a weird low budget horror movie, but didn't take the story anywhere else.
Well, when you're that big of a powerhouse franchise and you have that many people for that many years theorizing and hoping and wondering what's next, you have to talk about it. And that's kind of why I'm against the Firefly argument. I don't think there should ever be any more Firefly either, because if they tried to go back now and say, oh, these people, they just all stayed together on the ship and they're just still having the same old adventures, I would hate it, because you have to tell me why they're so much older now.
Right.
What happened.
Yeah.
And with Firefly, I think Serenity was a great ending.
Well, because Serenity was what was the next two or three seasons condensed.
Crammed
into
one.
It was everything you had planned for the entire series in one movie, which is why that movie's like, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's something where it's an interesting, we will get a Firefly thing, regardless of what people want or think. You know, I think too many people want it, and they're bringing everything back, right? Arrested Development came back, did really well. Mm. This X-File thing's coming back.
Coach is coming back. I just read that yesterday.
So it's like, you know, clearly the machine that makes new ideas is broken, because it's like all they're doing is just recycling things and making sequels to things. Like, there's no original screenplays ever, really. It's like, or they're few and far between.
They're always like indie movies that just kind of sneak out.
Right, like, but like the big budget things, or like, think of it, just how many TV shows are there just like, hey, bring it back, and like the actors are just like, okay. Like, sure, we'll do it.
Well, how many TV shows are based on comics and based on movie franchises of comics now? We always talk about there's like 9 or 10 different comic shows. There's too much to watch.
Yeah.
You know? They just announced that Heroes Reborn, you know, was happening.
Right,
Heroes. They just said that Hero is coming back, the character of Hero.
Yeah.
And someone on Facebook or whatever commented, are we really surprised? What else did that guy have going on?
Right, this is the only thing I think he's ever done, you know?
Yeah, and it's always a matter of getting it back. Like, this X-Files show, the one guy they can't get back is Vince Gilligan.
Oh.
And, you know, he said, I'd love to, but I'm doing Better Call Saul.
Yeah, so he's not
You know,
available.
Honestly, out of everyone in the X-Files, he's probably had the best post-X-Files career.
Right.
Because that was his first job.
Really?
Yeah.
He was the writer for X-Files?
Yeah, he wrote for X-Files from, like, the third season to the end. He wrote for The Lone Gunman. He wrote for Millennium. Yeah, he did a lot on that show. And that was his first paying job. He was living in, like, Virginia or North Carolina, and he was just writing screenplays.
Yeah.
And then his agent was like, you have to move out to L.A. if you're going to get anything done. And he got on The X-Files right away.
Wow.
That's awesome. How he learned how to do television, which
yeah.
is why Breaking Bad kind of has an X-Files feel to the pace, because that's where it comes from. In the same way Mad Men kind of feels like The Sopranos.
Yeah, because it's the same crew of guys.
Because that's where Matthew Weiner came from.
Yeah, but even look at like that. You know, you mentioned Breaking Bad, and it's just like, you know, so they're doing a spinoff, Better Call Saul. And spinoffs obviously aren't like a new thing, right? Didn't they do, whatchamacallit, it's a spinoff of like Cheers or something like this?
Frasier,
there you go.
Everything was a spinoff of Happy Days for about 10 years.
Right, so it's just like, I think it's something where, you know, there's... But it's like, if there's enough, with the internet, I think there's enough momentum behind these things where it's just like, it's kind of inevitable where it's like, well, you guys want, you know, Serenity or whatever, Firefly to come back. Yep, give it enough time and enough people will convince the studios who are out of ideas, let's do it. What else are we going to do? And then just throw a pile of money at Nathan Fillion until he agrees to do it.
Right. Basically, I think the way to get Firefly back is to cancel Castle.
Right, yeah. Maybe that's what it is. You know, you free up schedules. Like you said, Californication ends. David Duchovny's out of work. He's not doing anything. Yeah, I'll do X-Files, sure.
Californication ran like 7 years. I think they did the movie during Californication, but every time they talked about the TV show, and he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we also live in this Kickstarter crowdfunding era. I mean, Super Troopers 2 made millions of dollars instantaneously.
Which is insane, because there's like world hunger and stuff. Yeah. But it's like, no, we need a sequel to Super Troopers.
We need Super Troopers.
There's no money in maintenance.
No, there isn't.
That's what I've learned. There's more. You get more money to build a new bridge than to fix the old bridge.
Right, infrastructure is not
a priority. So you'll get more money for Super Troopers than you will for a bridge.
Right.
For the roads they will drive on.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, too. You know, you see a lot of times, like, a celebrity or somebody like Zach Braff got a lot of heat, I guess, a couple years ago. He wanted to do, like, a Kickstarter, and so he did. And they're like, get out of here, Zach Braff. Go make the Garden State, too. Like, Kickstarters for guys like us who just want to, like, hey, could we make a movie out of screenplay without, like, a big Hollywood budget?
People that don't have any money and have no access to money.
Zach Braff, I'm pretty sure you have some money. Probably more than I do.
Yeah, Scrubs is in syndication, probably. So it's like, does that mean he's got that's like a meal ticket?
He's getting money.
Yeah,
he's
got to
be sitting on that Scrubs cash.
Yeah.
It may not be, you know, a lot by Hollywood standards, but it's certainly enough that I'm not going to kickstart that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. And
Garden State did well enough that I think somebody would greenlight another movie.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But I do think, you know, us being in this age of, like, you know, crowdfunded projects, it's like, you know, they did a thing on Firefly. I think we talked about it before on the show where Nathan Fillion said something on, like, Facebook or Twitter. He's like, hey, who wants to see, like, a new Firefly? And then, like, that community of lunatic fans in, like, a day and a half raised, like, $500,000 to bring it back. And he's like, whoa, there's all kinds of things with the rights. Everyone's still busy doing other things. Like, this might not be possible. And then they ended up donating it to, like, charity or something. But it's like, that's insane. you know, it's like...
Well, Firefly has that rabid fan base where... that follow them, because remember Joss Whedon as a joke said that Nathan Fillion was Ant-Man, and for like a week they couldn't stop that story.
Yeah,
they were like, no, and Paul Rudd wasn't cast yet.
They
were
never like, tell no, a joke on the internet.
Yeah, clearly, Jesus.
We don't have an Ant-Man.
Wow.
There, I just saw a graphic to kind of bring it back to the X-Files. I saw someone made a picture of Jewel State as Kaylee from Firefly. Just middle finger to the camera, and I'm sure this is an old picture that had nothing to do with the X-Files, but the caption that's put on this is, oh, so X-Files gets to come back? What about Firefly? And I just went, cry me a river. Like, poor Jewel State. I'm sure that picture was taken out of context.
Absolutely.
She might not even have an opinion about this.
Was it from the run of Firefly?
It was... Probably. I mean,
like
she was
probably them, like, you know, horsing around behind him or something.
Well, apparently you can't make a movie with Martin Freeman without him flipping the middle finger at the camera every 5 minutes.
And I think that's awesome.
The Hobbit had a supercut of middle fingers.
Yeah.
And I believe Sherlock has the same thing.
Everyone's got their thing.
Yeah.
But Lauren, when did you discover the X-Files?
I loved the X-Files when I was a kid. I think that I reached maximum X-Files between like 5th and 7th grade.
And what years of the show would that be?
Oh, I don't remember.
Was it still on or was it?
It was, oh yeah, okay. It was on. You and I are the same age.
This would be like, probably like 96 maybe.
Yeah, but Steven,
like
seen, but Steven seen nothing.
No, no. But sure. I can contextualize
it's
maybe the year.
It's definitely the mid-90s. The show is on. And we had VHS tapes. We had the comics. We would draw. I remember painting my friend's nails black and then taking a toothpick and drawing like little green X's on them. We were so into it.
That's awesome.
I mean, now, though, I still love it. My husband and I are rewatching it all on Netflix. And for last Halloween, dressed as Mulder and Scully. And it was really popular.
Renee and I did that too.
People our age love that stuff still.
Yeah.
I mean, to the point where I'm probably going to wear it to C2E2 now that this announcement came out and it's going to be relevant.
It'll be topical, yeah.
Now we can find you. I've looked for you every C2E2 and I never run into you.
I hide in transformative costumes. On Sunday, I'm going to be Blossom from the Powerpuff Girls.
That's awesome.
And it's gonna
I thought you were going to be Blossom from Blossom. Maybe
that too. Right. I could do like a sweet mashup. But I'm going to have, you know, pink eyes, bright orange hair. You could probably look right at me and have no idea.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, it was something I remember, like my sister was counseling, like I was saying, you know, so it's, I think it's enough in the, I don't know, the like you said, there's this huge fan base for stuff like this to where it's, you know, it's, it will still be relevant. And this movie will probably be. Or this is a TV show, you said, right?
Yeah, it'll be a six episode miniseries.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like you said, they brought 24 back for the same reason, and it's just like that did
and
really
that did
good,
well,
and now
yeah.
they're talking more about doing more, like, all right, we'll do that in a couple more years. We'll do another miniseries, and, you know, maybe they're going to move away from these long, you know, 30-episode seasons.
Right, and it's good for the actor's schedules because when something is running 5 or 6 or 7 years, like Mad Men is right about to finish, and I'm reading all these interviews with John Hamm, was like, yeah, it'll be nice to finally stop being Don Draper.
Something else.
Yeah.
And even though they take breaks, but you know what? If
you can't really do anything between
them. In 5 years, if they want, if Matthew Weiner goes, hey, I have a script for Mad Men in 1978, like he could probably get everybody back.
Yeah.
Yeah, The X-Files for me, I remember, was a show everyone was talking about for years, and I hadn't gotten into it. And then when the first movie came out, which I loved, Fight the Future, all my friends were going and I was like, yeah, I'll go. Let's just all hang out. And that was enough of a jump on point for me.
Okay.
That after that, I was obsessed with it until just about the end. I think the final season when it was like Robert Patrick and Annabeth Gish and Gillian Anderson had barely a role and David Duchovny was gone. I think I kind of left and then came back for the final episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, me too. That brings up a good point. Not to interrupt.
No,
go ahead. I'm realizing a lot of these people who are getting amped about this show don't remember what happened during that era of the program because they stopped watching and then came back for when Mulder was on screen in the last episode. I was talking about this with my husband last night, kind of going through, flipping through the comics, trying to look at some recaps, trying to remember, and he goes, Scully had a telekinetic alien baby? And I went, she sure did. She sure did.
Yeah, by season 8, she had to.
Jesus.
She did, and it was a big, huge plot point, and it's also the entire first, you know, hardback of the season 10 comics, which are probably not going to be cited in this new series, but people want the old X-Files.
Right.
When my friends talk about it, they're like, oh, yeah, they're going to be searching for aliens and Samantha and the Smoking Man. I'm like, that stuff's over.
Right. If this, that well, stuff that, if like you said, that was the first couple seasons of like right at the edge of like they might be out there. Mm-hmm. And then they straight up are like, no, there's an invasion coming. It's like,
there's an invasion and you have an alien baby.
Yeah, right. They turned the corner on what you think the X-Files is.
Right. Well, they got to the point where they couldn't keep denying.
Yeah, you can't keep dangling a carrot in front of somebody like that,
right,
for
the way
how many seasons.
The way they set it up is that Mulder always believed in aliens and Scully didn't. Scully, in the first episode, Scully is assigned to Mulder, and she just thinks he's weird and crazy and interesting. But
they put her there to discredit him, basically.
Right, so that way, most episodes, they always have a balance of, like, whenever they see something weird, even when it's not aliens, because they do a lot of monster episodes
right.
and mutant episodes. And when they see something, like, Mulder would be like, that's a radioactive mutant from under a volcano. And Scully was like, no,
it could
maybe
be
he's
this,
got
this,
radiation
this.
Burns. And then when the episode was firing on all cylinders, at the end of the episode, you didn't know.
Yeah.
You were like, yeah, and that could be either what Mulder said or what Scully said. And that's kind of where that show lived. Yeah. That's what made it so interesting. Whereas I think the closest show that's ever been like it is The Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Although Chris Carter talks about Kolchak the Night Stalker, it doesn't really feel like it. The Twilight Zone was always like, things are normal, things are normal, things are normal. Wait, there's a twist. Yeah. But it was always definitively, that's the twist, that's what makes things not normal. And X-Files would not make that twist.
Yeah.
Now we're 6-7 years later, and Scully said no to things hundreds of times.
Right.
That eventually she's going to be like, all right, maybe there are aliens.
Yeah.
Apparently we've run into them 56 times, and I'm out of excuses.
Right. I've been in denial for a couple years.
Right.
Yeah, but they did start going in a direction, particularly when Duchovny was off the show, where Scully started becoming the more supernatural advocate character because she had been through the 56 times of seeing aliens.
Right.
Yeah.
And they brought on new characters.
Reyes and Doggett were like, well, you're crazy, Agent Scully. And history was repeating itself then.
Yeah, so it was just kind of like trying to recreate that formula.
Yeah, but I think to your point, Lauren, I think they are going to ignore those final seasons because in that the second movie, there was not even a cameo with Robert Patrick and Annabeth Gish, who are big enough names where, like, even if you didn't know those characters, you'd be like, look, the T-1000's in this movie.
They do mention the baby, though.
Yeah, but it's...
The baby's gone because they put it up for adoption, but it was still...
So somebody else has an alien telekinetic baby?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Seems like the kind of thing you should warn about, you know, it's like...
Seems like the kind of thing that's your spinoff show.
Right?
Alien telekinetic baby adventures.
But that's a comedy show.
Yeah.
And then
Benny
Professor
Hill
Xavier
plays.
Shows up. You have to go to my school.
Right.
Well, that's... We were talking about this before we started recording, these season 10 comics that are... Chris Carter's actually a part of them, which is interesting. The first whole issue is basically them trying to dig themselves out of this weird plot hole that they didn't think they'd have to revisit, where she had an alien telekinetic baby, put it up for adoption, quote-unquote, for its own protection, so people would never find it. And then in the comic, they sort of realize the inevitable, like, putting a baby up for adoption doesn't make it disappear. Like, aliens and the government are still going to be after this baby and us. Uh-oh. And hilarity ensues, but...
Well, it's like Spider-Man's baby. You remember that plot in the 90s?
No. I didn't read a lot of 90s
during the
Spider-Man.
Clone Saga.
Yeah, this is why.
Yeah, there you go. Peter and Mary Jane had a baby.
Yeah.
They couldn't figure out what to do with it.
Because fuck keeping it.
So, yeah. Right. Well.
I've got shit to do. I'm a model and you're a superhero. Who's going to raise this child? Your aging Aunt May who's constantly on death's bed?
Who's having a heart attack every six right. issues. But they... They said, like, the baby died in childbirth, and then there was a page where, like, the doctor goes into a hallway and Norman Osborn gives him money, and you're like, oh, Norman Osborn has a baby, and you never saw the baby again. And actually, Spider-Girl was supposed to be
that baby,
the alternate reality where that baby grows up.
Where they did the responsible thing and just kept the fucking kid?
Aren't they talking about bringing all that back, though? That Spider-Man picture that came out that said, renew your vows... And has Mary Jane, and there's a daughter.
Yeah, well, that's part
picture.
Of the whole Secret Wars. Both DC and Marvel, we were talking about this on the show, they're doing the same thing at the same time, which is crazy, is they're both rebooting their universes and having a huge limited series to do it, and doing a million different limited series and one-shots devoted to every era of their history. So at the same time that they're doing a Spider-Man book where Peter and Mary Jane have the baby again, Batman's doing a book where Azrael's still Batman.
Yeah.
So they're
revisiting all their alternate histories.
Yeah, and Steven's very worried because he assumes no one's going to buy anything.
Well, it's sort of,
regular books come back.
They could be very good, but it sort of reeks of desperation almost. Yeah. Like, well, you like this? Is this the plot you want?
Right.
Do you want MJ back? Yeah. Do you want him to have a baby?
It does kind of seem like they're saying, like, here is everything we've ever done. What sells the best? Because we'll do that.
Which one do you want?
Yeah, because we clearly don't know what we're doing anymore.
Right.
Which, you know.
And bring it back to the X-Files. How do you feel about these new six episodes? Do you think it's going to be something like that? Where it's like, oh, I don't know. There's alien shapeshifters and black oil and a baby.
Yeah, you
or
see,
is,
like,
are they going to have a definitive?
Well, you see like interviews a lot of times where they talk about, like Indiana Jones is a good example, you know, and X-Files too, I guess, where they talk about stuff and they're like, well, you know, if they have a good script, we'll come back for it. Because no one wants to come back and do like, you know.
Crystal Skull. Or the second X-Files movie.
And that's what I think is, if they have a good script for the X-Files, and if they're like, look, we've got six episodes, here's the script, do you guys want to do it? you guys should do it if you believe in it and you think it's good. But don't just do it because David Duchovny's like, wow, I need a paycheck because, you know, Californication ended, you know?
Right.
I would like it if it's both nostalgic and self-aware of you know, what it's doing. And yeah. I don't know how to describe that better, but you saying, what if it's post-apocalyptic, but we do a bunch of flashbacks? I think we could do effective, nostalgic flashbacks to the parts of the X-Files we liked.
Yeah.
But then sort of a self-aware, like, we know we went sort of crazy with this baby thing, we're finally going to finish the story. But as long as there's a sort of a nod to the audience, like, we're older, things got weird.
Yeah.
I think they could clean it up. I really hope.
But I think it's something where it's just like, you know, how difficult is that? Especially with something like this X-Files, where, like you guys say, it's like, you know, it's just kind of like the bottom falls out of this at the end of it, it sounds like. And it's like, if that's such a mess to clean up, and they tried in the comics, like Lauren was saying, where they tried to put all this stuff together, it's like, well, if that worked, great, but if it didn't work, it's just like, what are we gonna do with these six episodes?
Right.
If it bombs again and the last movie bombed, that's it. What are they gonna revisit X-Files right. in 20 years?
But I agree with you, Lauren. I think they have to address the mythology because, as we said, in the second movie, they tried to ignore it and just go, here's a story where Mulder and Scully are trying to stop a crazy, weird thing from happening. And everybody's like, wait a minute, there's an alien invasion and a telekinetic baby out there.
Yeah.
Why aren't you two, other than one line, why aren't you two addressing this? Why are you chasing, like, a German scientist that's making Wolfman babies?
Right. And those actors are physically older.
Right.
Visibly older, so you can't pretend this is earlier in the canon.
Right, yeah. And that's, you always hear stuff like this where they try to do like stuff like where they're like, oh, look at, here he is, David Duchovny playing him younger David Duchovny. It's like, nope. Unless you have like a Benjamin Button budget with CGI, right. That ain't going to look right. You know what I mean?
And that's always the interesting thing when you come back to your characters. I call that the Tommy Lee Jones effect, because when Captain America Winter Soldier came out, Tommy Lee Jones looked awesome. Yeah. I was like, man, this guy looked great. He's doing so well at his age. He can just keep going for another 25 years, and he's awesome in that movie. And then the next year, Men in Black 3 came out.
Oh, God, yeah.
And he just looked...
He looked like a corpse.
He looked older and more tired than he did in Captain America because he was trying to be 90s Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
You know, in Captain America, he was trying to be that character who was Tommy Lee Jones's age.
Yeah.
And so that's what that's exactly what I hope Lauren is like. Let them play their ages, because David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson look great. You know,
they look great, but they don't look 22.
They don't look like it's 1998 anymore.
Yeah.
And that has to be addressed. And you know what? We don't live in the world of the 90s where that show, they're constantly pulling out big cell phones.
Yeah.
They don't have the internet.
If you watch it, a lot of it holds up. A lot of it is great storytelling, great suspense, eerie. But then anything with computers or technology does not hold up because it's silly now.
Works as a period piece. I mean, I think when you watch it, you have to say this happened in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I used to have a bit in my stand-up act about how you couldn't do the X-Files post 9/11, and it got canceled right after 9/11 because it showed. Because at the time, I said, "Well, you know, the government didn't know the planes were coming,
right?
You know, they can't cover up Abu Ghraib. It was like, how are they hiding aliens?
Yeah.
But now that we're 10 years past that, and we're seeing all the terrible things that the government is
can hide up, yeah,
and we're seeing some of the crazy things they're doing. It's a perfect time for conspiracies,
right?
And again, the show is all about trying to uncover conspiracies and not being able to do it.
And they work for the government, and they're trying to uncover government.
They're FBI agents, yeah, but yeah. They're in a crappy detail. Their office is in the basement.
Yeah,
David Duchovny.
They're like a joke.
Yeah,
in the early series, though, again, that takes us back to the point in movie two. They aren't. In movie two, Scully's like in a hospital.
Yeah, she's
a
doctor.
And Mulder is fleeing from the law, trying to get murder charges lifted off of him. So even just how do we get them back to the FBI if we're going to do that is a question.
Yeah.
Well, I think in the movie they clear him of all charges if he goes and solves that case. Because then they work with FBI agents like Amanda Peet and...
Right, but it can't ever be what it was.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that was my next question is like, how close to the X-Files show does it have to be? Like, do they have to be in suits? Do they have to work for the government? Do they have to have badges? Like, at what point were people just going to be like, this isn't really the X-Files anymore? You know what I mean? It's like, is it even worth calling it the X-Files?
Yeah, and the X-Files exists in between those two moments of like not knowing something and knowing something.
Yeah.
That it's like, the whole show is about, is that going on what I think is going on? And the whole look goes to it, because at the time it was the darkest show on television visually.
Yeah.
Like they said, they said they didn't even have the lighting rigs most shows have. They would like, they would put a light bulb in the set and go, there you go.
Wow. Because
it was all about shadows.
Yeah.
And it was all about what's going on right off screen or right behind that corner. And most of the monsters, you didn't really know what they look like, which is why I think there wasn't a ton of merchandising. Like Fluke Man you saw, and there were Fluke Man statues and Fluke Man action figures, and there were aliens because they showed them in the movie. But for the most part, it was like a hand or an eye.
Yeah.
Or, it was or somebody just about, humans, yeah. But they had weird eyes or like a parasite living inside their chest. It wasn't iconic
or
new
Bruce Campbell.
Crazy monsters.
Yeah.
Bringing up technology is a good point, though, too. In the 90s, the internet was not a thing. And I'm trying to imagine an X-Files where instead of trying to flip through files and going back into Mulder's like understanding of the occult, like we just Google stuff.
Right. Right. And it's just like it does kind of lose its charm with, you know, like you said, if it's like flipping through file cabinets or we got to dig up this file or this file's in a room somewhere or storage unit. It's like, well, it's on the internet. Everything is on the internet, so it's just like
but behind a firewall.
Yeah, and it's just like
the guys that would get that from are all dead because they killed off the lone gunman in the last season.
That's okay. Spoiler alert again.
Spoiler alert. The show it was 13 years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. The new comic books they're alive.
Oh, really?
And Cigarette Smoking Man is alive. Yeah. They just sort of hand wave it like, oh, everyone, all your favorite characters are still here.
Please buy this book.
Yeah. And so I wonder, you know, is the movie going to do that too? Because when I was a kid, I loved the Lone Gunman. Any
right.
Lone Gunman
And they
episode,
got their
like,
own
yeah.
show. They were so well known.
Wow.
It tanked immediately, but they got their own show.
Gave it a try.
Yeah. I have the DVDs of that next to my X-Files DVDs.
Because you're a completionist.
I really
But like, IDW's been putting out X-File books for like 10 years. There's always an X-File comic. There's
well,
like
not,
a one-shot
right.
or there's some kind of miniseries.
Well, it's passed around for a while because I remember Topps had it in the 90s when the show was on, and that was the run that Charlie Adlard, who draws The Walking Dead now, drew.
Yeah.
Which there you can see a lot of Walking Dead, and it's very shadowy. It's very he didn't worry so much about the likenesses, which a lot of artists get hung up on with licensed comics.
Yeah.
Like they work so hard to make David Duchovny look like David Duchovny that it's just flat images and the storytelling suffers. And Adlard kind of had, like, he made Duchovny and Gillian Anderson look like characters in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But they had it for a while. I believe DC had it when the second movie came out. Either Marvel or DC had it. And their comics were called Season 7.5 because they wanted to avoid those last seasons so much.
Yeah.
That they
jumped
were like,
in.
They
Here's
were like,
something that happened in between the good seasons and the bad seasons.
Exactly.
And when you're drawing art, you can make them look whatever age you
right,
want.
That's, right, yeah, and you have an unlimited budget. You know, and I think that's something going back to the point you guys were making about like the monsters and stuff is like, was a lot of that just like, hey, it's really expensive to do makeup and monsters, so here's just like a claw and the rest of it's in shadow just to avoid having to create this whole huge alien thing.
There was a bit of that because it was pre-CG, so they were still doing
right.
like models and makeup
practical
and miniatures
effects.
Mostly. Most of it was practical. But it was a big hit show.
Yeah, so they eventually would have had the budget to do
it. Yeah, I was reading an interview with David Duchovny yesterday who's like, people call it a cult show, but people forget it was Fox's biggest show. It was bigger than The Simpsons for a while, and The Simpsons was at its height.
Wow.
Like it was, they said it was like number 9 overall in that period, and that was at a time where Fox wasn't on in every state. Like it was huge. It was a cultural phenomenon. It was like Lost, you know, for that moment.
Yeah.
It was a huge cultural phenomenon, and then it slowly eroded.
Yeah.
After, you know, people walked off.
Yeah, but that happens kind of with everything too, you know. It's just like, you know, it's like every couple years there is that huge show that's like everyone's watching it.
Right.
You know, it's like it was Lost, what, 10 years ago or whatever.
Right.
It seems like it
couple
might,
years ago it was Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Now it's Walking Dead.
Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, you know, X-Files. You know, it's like, you know, to varying degrees depending on, you know, what show you're watching. But yeah, I think it's definitely something where it's just like we said earlier, there's the market for it. People want to see it, but it's just like how much like it could even be, like you said, to just even to address the stuff that doesn't really work anymore.
That is why I'm glad they're doing 6 episodes, though. We kind of already said this, but if it bombs, the story is over at 6 episodes.
Right.
And we could just all sort of coast along and
pretend
take
it
hands
didn't
off.
Happen.
Yeah.
I remember reading that was Paramount's strategy with Star Trek The Next Generation when they greenlit, I think they greenlit 13 episodes at first, and they were like, if this bombs, we can just attach this onto the syndication of Star Trek. and just, you know, that's the week that people don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, and you can sidestep that. I remember a few years ago, Kids in the Hall did a new series that was 8 episodes, and it wasn't good. And it's fine to just forget that happened.
Yeah.
So I agree, but I think, yeah, there's plenty you can do to update it, because there's plenty of uncertainty in America now. There's, like, people do not believe in their government. People do not believe in big business.
Yeah.
People do not believe in the future. So I feel like that is the place where X-Files really lived. And when it was on in the 90s, it was a part of, like, Clinton was in office. The country's doing really well. You know, technology boom was right about to happen. But there was this undercurrent of, like, what don't we know?
Yeah. So yeah, things are going so well, but it's like, this can't be this good.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, yeah, I think that's why 9/11, as you say, was kind of a tipping point for a show like that. Because when the economy is doing well, it's fun and sort of harmless to talk about, ooh, but what if?
Yeah. And then when you start really living in the, it's no longer what if, you know, and everyone's kind of waiting for the next shoe to fall, or whatever you call it. People don't really want to see a show like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's always been my theory about vampires and zombies, was that historically, vampire movies do really well in good economies because everybody's thinking about themselves. And they're like, ooh, a sexy man's going to come and make out with me and then bite me. And then in bad economies, it's zombies, because they're just like, the whole world's going to go to hell.
Right.
And then zombies are just going to walk down the street right. and come into my house and board it up and take us out.
Better get ready.
Yeah, and then we got to this weird place about 5 years ago where they were both kind of popular, because there was Twilight.
We were like transitioning
from
one to the other.
It was like Twilight and Walking Dead. And now I think it's shifted where vampires are for teenagers. Because they are
of Twilight,
and they're completely concerned with themselves.
Yeah,
we are all teenagers in this room, but for the most part, it's zombies.
Yeah,
and I think that's also true with X-Files. It was like in the 80s during the Reagan administration, things were good. I mean, they were doing things that were going to bite us in the ass later, but everybody was worried about serial killers.
Yeah,
just serial killers were everywhere, and Freddy Krueger and Jason were serial killers that were dressed up like monsters. They weren't monsters.
Yeah.
Because it's I don't have to worry about society, so let me worry about what's going to come
and
get
psychos.
Me.
There's going to be an individual that's going to come down my street, my safe street, where it's okay to keep the doors unlocked.
Yeah.
And he's going to get us.
Right. And that's why I think the X-Files might even be stronger now in this period where they're this kind of anxiety about society in general.
Yeah.
Is like, because the X-Files were all about, the government is trying to hurt you.
Right.
You know, because not only were they covering up the aliens, but there were a lot of episodes where they were experimenting on people.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of like the next thing is like, you know, you figure, you know, that torture report or whatever comes out from the CIA. So it's like, if the whole show's just like, hey, this invasion's coming and the government isn't doing anything about it, and on top of that, they're fucking up and trying to create robot baby alien telekinetic monsters.
Right. And how easy is it to take the torture report and give it a twist of sci-fi?
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, while they were torturing them, they were injecting them with alien embryos.
Yeah. And it's just like that fucking torture report reads like fucking fiction. It's so horrific. So it's like, yep, it's not that hard to imagine. You know, give it a little twist and now it's, you know, the plot for the next X-Files.
You could even take the, you know, step above that, which is the torture report, terrorism, it's all real, but those are threats on our planet, and the betrayal of the government is kind of what you started to say, which is they're not worried about this incoming invasion. Like,
right.
Maybe enough years have passed that we decided it's not actually happening, and we just blew it off.
Like global warming.
Yeah, exactly. And there is this feeling, there's a common theme in the X-Files, is the government doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
And that they would constantly just sacrifice people or experiment on people, turn this guy into like a mutant
just
electric
to see
monster.
Happen.
Yeah, just to see what, there was a lot of like military testing. There were lots of episodes where like soldiers had weird telekinetic powers because they had done testing on them. And I think that's something that that resonates a lot more. I think now it's a little more business and corporation focused, because I feel like the feeling now is, oh, the government can't control these businesses that are trying to poison the earth and, you know, and raise prices and impoverish everybody. So maybe it'll have a corporate slant to it.
Yeah, but then what do you think, like, budget-wise, you know, if this is a TV show going to Fox, like, do they have a budget, you think, to do this big alien invasion thing and actually do, like, Earth Under Siege kind of stuff, or... You know,
I don't think they'll go that far.
I don't think it's gonna. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be a sci-fi action epic.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like the X-Files really can be that. Like, it doesn't seem like you guys are saying the best time the show works is when it kind of walks that line. And if it's like big sci-fi alien invasion epic, you know, last half of Avengers, you know, with the aliens out of the portal in the sky, it's like that seems more like a superhero movie than like an X-Files, like these two characters kind of running around trying to figure stuff out.
It can't go as far as, say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes.
Right.
Which can't
something.
Go as far as a movie.
I think we're onto something, though. You can keep it very grounded in reality if we address terrorism, if we take, like, the syndicate and maybe address the 1% issues that we've had.
Yeah, a lot of those guys, the syndicate were the guys that knew about the aliens and were covering it up. Those guys could easily be billionaires.
Yeah.
There was a few of them. They would always be in mansions.
Well, you'd have to be, I think, if you're covering up alien invasions, you know, that probably takes a little money.
Yeah. It's a very Mr. Burns thing to do.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, right at the end, which was always what The X-Files was about, you know, one episode at the end of the season, you'd look up into the sky and there would be a UFO. And so if we could do that, we could modernize that.
Yeah. Right. And also, The X-Files wasn't pure action sci-fi. It was a lot like Law and Order. It was definitely a police procedural. With sci-fi undercurrents. One of my favorite episodes that Vince Gilligan wrote was they did a parody of Cops, and they actually shot it with video cameras instead of film.
Cool.
And they follow Mulder and Scully all day.
Yeah.
And they go to like the projects because there's like a, I forget what there is. There's like a chupacabra or like a vampire in the projects.
Yeah.
And it just follows them around, and it takes that formula. And that's one of the most successful episodes, I think, because it was so close to being a cop show anyway.
You know, and then they probably focused on aliens more than anything. But like you said, The X-Files was more, it's like any supernatural, bizarre kind of stuff, right? Like you said, they'd go and be like, oh, this guy says there's a vampire over here. And they'd go look for the vampire. Like it could have been or can be any of that stuff. Aliens just seem to be like the big plot point, like they were driving towards it with like this invasion story.
Right, that was the big continuity. But they did time travel episodes, they did alternate reality episodes.
They were really big on, experimenting with the form, too. There was one that was all in black and white and was inspired by comics. There was one that was one of my favorite episodes because it reminds me of my own relationship, is they're just sitting in Walter Skinner's office and they're narrating the last adventure they'd been on. But you hear the story from each of their perspectives and how they see one another. And it's pretty low in the like action department, but how they relate to one another, it's a lot of telling instead of showing, and it's still great. It's
like
so
high
well done.
That's another Vince Gilligan episode, Bad Blood. And Luke Wilson's in that episode.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Sometimes wearing like hillbilly teeth.
Yeah. When Mulder was describing it, he had giant teeth.
Oh, see, that's cool. So they, from each person's perspective,
and
it's like
Luke
what they focused on.
Luke Wilson was in that movie Home Fries with Drew Barrymore that Vince Gilligan wrote. It was like one of the screenplays he had written before he got on The X-Files.
Yeah.
And once he got on The X-Files, he had enough of a name to get it made. So it was like right around the time that came out that Luke Wilson did it as a favor.
Well, that's cool.
And this is now a famous story. Another Vince Gilligan episode had Bryan Cranston starring in it.
Oh, no shit.
And everyone's been on The X-Files. There's a Jack Black episode.
Yep. Giovanni Ribisi is in the episode with Jack Black. They're friends. Lucy Liu's in an episode. Mm-hmm. Charles Nelson Reilly's in an episode. Michael McKean. I just was listening to Michael McKean on The Nerdist because he's in Better Call Saul now. And they said, well, how did you get on this show? Because he wasn't in Breaking Bad. He was like, oh, yeah, I remember Vince Gilligan wrote that episode of The X-Files I did.
Yeah.
It was a big show, and Ed Asner was in it. Lily Tomlin was in it.
There was an episode, I think it was Ryan Reynolds, and I'm not even sure. It was some young up-and-coming star, not in the episode, was just a picture, like a headshot, as a dead body. You know, the person who had died in that episode is now huge now, and I think it's Ryan Reynolds. I'm not
that's
sure.
That's wild.
Yeah. And you see that a lot. You see that on Seinfeld a lot. Like, a lot of the girls that Jerry and George dated are, like, huge actresses now. Because that's kind of the stepping stone is...
You get like, a TV and then
you get
just
bit
kinda...
parts, and then you get bit parts on hit shows, and then you get cast on a show.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, it was enormous. And, you know, it was a show everyone wanted to be on because of the exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope it'll be good.
We all hope it'll be good. That's why we're here.
But do we really? I mean, the hope versus like, do we really, really think it's going to be good? Like, do you think they have an idea where it could...
So the funny thing is, without irony, without even realizing what I was about to say, I almost just said, I want to believe.
I almost said that like 10 minutes ago.
That's awesome.
And I think that is how we're feeling, is that. Yeah. But we've been burned. You know, one of the guys I work with used to be a graphic designer at the X-Files magazine. And I asked him yesterday, I was like, so the X-Files is coming back. How do you feel being that close to it? That was your job. He's like, no, man, it ran too long. That's all he said.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you pull out of that tailspin? Because, you know, we've said it a few times. The second movie was supposed to do it. It was 6 years later.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't do it.
And I think that's, you know, the big trouble you run into is like sometimes, you know, like Lauren was saying earlier about like Serenity or Firefly, it should just end. People really want all these things to come back. They really want that Firefly Serenity season two or whatever. And it's just like, sure, they do it. And then it sucks. And then you're all pissed off. You know, we wanted Indiana Jones that came back and that fourth movie blew chunks.
Yeah. When do we learn? When do we stop?
And I think that's the thing is that people, they don't want to stop. You know, it's like, you will read Spider-Man for the rest of our lives, it's good or bad. And how many shitty runs of those books do we go through thinking, nah, man, the next run will be good. The next book will be good. It's like Fantastic Four is a bowl of shit right now. But it's like, the last run was so good, I'll put up with it. That's fine.
Yep.
And that's, I think, what this X-Files is like, you know, you guys keep talking, oh, that was so good. It was so good. And it's just like, but you guys are talking about like the first couple seasons, maybe like the first movie. After that, how good was it? Well, it wasn't really good. It maybe should have. Maybe that first movie, that should have been the end of it. Maybe that should they should have called it.
I was reading an interview with Eric Idle a couple of years ago about how everybody was telling them that Monty Python should get back together. And he was saying, well, you know, we get back together. We're going to get back together now. It's like, you don't want to see a bunch of old guys doing Monty Python.
Yeah.
You want it to be what it was in the 70s. And he goes, basically, you just want to be young again. And you want what you care about to be around, so you feel like you did when it was around.
And I think that's a lot of what this is.
Yeah, and then Monty Python did get back together again last year because they lost the lawsuit about Spamalot. So they lost like 100 million pounds, so they had to get back together. And nobody really cared because it was a bunch of old guys.
It's not the same.
Doing, it's like, you know what, every time the Rolling Stones come to town again, it's not as exciting as it used to be.
Yeah, Mike Lawrence made that joke on the Nightly Show about like the Ninja Turtles reboot. He's like, yeah, I went to go see Ninja Turtles because, you know, that was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. And I got pissed off because it's not my childhood. And it's just like, it just reminds you of this shit when you were like a kid. And it's just like, you can't really recapture that. Like you said, these characters are 15 or 20 years older than they were when this show started. And everyone's got that image in their head of what David Duchovny looked like. And like you said, they look great for their age, but it's like, they're not going to be these characters. It's like, they might even, from an acting standpoint, they might not even be able to figure out where their characters would be logically at this point. How often do they even think, oh, I wonder where Mulder would be right now in 2015? You know, it's just like, yeah, where would he be? Did September 11th happen in the X-Files continuity? Yeah. You know, it's like, how do they address stuff like that?
September 11th happened when it was on and they didn't address it directly.
Right. And how could they?
Well, does anybody remember when they brought Get Smart back in the 90s?
No, I don't even.
Is that with Steve Carell?
No, that's the movie they made in the 2000s. They brought it back as a TV show with Don Adams and Barbara Feldon and Andy Dick.
No.
And it did not work. And I think that's the point we're making is you guys don't know it exists.
Yeah.
If Get Smart comes on, like it's on MeTV, I've actually been watching it again.
They don't show those.
Well, they don't show those, but also if any of you turn on MeTV and watch Get Smart, you go, oh, look, it's Get Smart from the 60s. You don't automatically think, and that season in the 90s was so bad.
Yeah, it doesn't occur.
So if this does tank, they can walk away from it, but it also shows that this isn't a new thing of bringing shows back.
Yeah, I guess that is true. Like we said, I was saying, it's like, oh, yeah, this is a new thing because they're out of ideas. It's like, oh, they've kind of always been doing stuff like this, perhaps.
Well, given, though, that we have that second movie, we have some failed seasons, and we have a failed second movie. I think maybe for the first time, this might be like a game-changing commentary on late reboots, you know? It's either going to go well, and then we're going to see everything. We're going to see Firefly come back, or...
Or it'll be like the last nail in the coffin
of
the X-Files
franchise.
It'll bomb,
and they'll be like, you know, maybe some things we should just leave alone.
Yeah. we do have this like weird cultural nostalgia where we constantly want to go and dust it off and be like, man, it's time for X-Files again. You know, like you've got all these, DVD seasons and stuff on the, in your living room. You know, you got like, this season, whatever, Star Trek, whatever. But we people buy those collections because they go back and they watch it all. And I think it's the same thing, like, mm-hmm. 5 years will go by before either of you, forget this new season. So the season ends, 5 or 6 years might pass before either of you go back to watch those original X-Files. But you will go back to it eventually, right?
Oh, definitely. That's why I don't sell my DVDs, because they're on Netflix, because I'm like, well, if Netflix...
They'll drop it.
They will.
If they drop it, I know I'm going to want to watch it again.
Exactly.
As I was saying, I dropped it in that last season, but then about 2 years after it ended, 2004, when Renee and I got married, we moved, and as I was unpacking, just happened that the first box of DVDs I opened were all my X-Files season sets.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll just throw on episodes while I'm unpacking everything else, which, as you guys know, takes weeks.
And then you were back in it.
And I was so drawn into it again, and I got re-obsessed with it. And I think that was the year that Renee and I did Mulder and Scully for... Halloween, like it wasn't even on anymore.
Yeah.
So there is definitely something about it that makes you want to come back to it, even, as I said, even though it's dated. So I agree. This will either be six more or it just won't have even happened.
So you guys are way more into the television shows than I am. Not just X-Files, but other things. What other shows would you think like, oh, wouldn't it be great if this got one more season?
I just got asked this question on a different podcast, and my answer was none. And I think I still stand by that because of things like Indy 4.
Yeah.
There, I've seen way too many things I love.
Get tarnished.
And, I would love if there were more Firefly, but I'm the biggest advocate of no. It was great because it stopped.
Leave it alone.
I mean, I used to be a fan of the TV show Supernatural. I feel Supernatural should have stopped after season 5 because
that was supposed to be the ending.
They had
that
a story written,
yeah,
and then they kept it going, and now, in my opinion, it's not good.
Yeah,
and so I don't really advocate bringing it back. Sorry to be like
you can
crap
know,
on your question.
No, but I completely agree with that because that's what I was thinking. I was over here. I was thinking about what show would I really want to see come back? It's just like nothing because I don't think. You maybe should be doing this. I mean, sometimes I think reboots work in like a goofy way sometimes, but I think more often than not, shows usually stick around too long or they do too many sequels to a movie. You know, when you've got, Freddy 8 and it's like he's doing stand-up comedy or something like this, it's like, what are we really watching anymore?
There used to be some anime that I wanted to see more of. I really wanted to see, sort of as an adult, more Cowboy Bebop and more Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
Cowboy Bebop just came out this Christmas season as Blu-rays, and we got them, and I watched it, and it's perfect. And I went, man, no more. It is perfect.
Yeah.
Right where it ends. I take back what I said. Sailor Moon got rebooted in the last year, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
The animation is really low quality. The storytelling is, everyone was really hoping for... There's lesbian relationships in that show. There's women that change to men and then back to women. And when it was dubbed in the 90s, that was really controversial and sort of swept under the rug. And everyone was hoping, like, it's going to be better now. We live in the modern era, and it's not. It's not good.
It's still bad, yeah.
Yeah, when you mentioned that, I can't think of anything I would want to see come back. But I started thinking about the shows that have come back.
Yeah.
And I think the show that did it the best was Futurama. Because there were years in between those, and they did it first. It got canceled on Fox after about 4 seasons. It came back as the DVD movies, which were all great, and then it came back a couple of years after that as a Comedy Central run. And the thing that made the reason that's so great is you could just watch them straight through as if they were The Simpsons, and there was no break.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never watched Futurama ever on television, but I watched it on Netflix, and I knew that it had got canceled at some point, re-picked up, but I had no idea that there were years in between. I mean, it's seamless. It just looks like the same.
And that's what you want, where it's more the same. The other reboot I thought was brilliant was when they brought Seinfeld back on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Hmm.
Did you ever see that season?
No.
It was great because that whole season was about Jerry and Larry writing a Seinfeld reunion. So they get everybody back. They rebuild the sets. they do probably within the season, they do about 10 minutes of what the Seinfeld reunion would be. And it's not good. And they know it's not good. But really, since Curb Your Enthusiasm has that documentary feel, it's really about Jerry and Larry writing together and dealing with Jason Alexander and Michael Richards and Julie Louis-Dreyfus. And it was like that... That was the perfect thing of like, you guys want this.
But here's why it wouldn't
work.
You
shouldn't want it. So we'll give it to you in a way that's actually good.
Yeah.
I don't think any other show could do that.
Yeah, it really only works in those two.
Yeah, but I love that season. And it feels like a season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It doesn't feel like that kind of backdoor pilot.
For a Seinfeld reunion.
Yeah, you know, like that was a big thing in the 60s and 70s. There are episodes of like Star Trek or Sanford and Son where... Or Happy Days, where new characters would come in, and all of a sudden, you're just talking to that new character for the entire episode, and you're like, why? Why do I care about this guy?
Yeah.
And then they have their own show, and all of a sudden, that episode of the series doesn't feel like the show.
It's why I didn't like the new season of Arrested Development. They really asked us to care about Rebel Alley and her old plot line. I'm like, I don't even know who that is. I don't care. I'm really surprisingly happy with the Muppets, though, in the post-Henson era.
Well, that first film, the Jason Segel film, is gorgeous.
Yeah, that I really liked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. And that's a different thing. That's where the generation who grew up with it gets to do it.
Yeah, it's like they pass the torch on.
That's kind of what everybody thinks J.J. Abrams is going to bring to Star Wars. I mean, we won't know until it comes out. But I do feel that that's kind of what comics are today, is that I think everybody who's working on comics today knows that character from their childhood.
Yeah,
I guess Scott Snyder loves Frank Miller. Frank Miller loved Denny O'Neill and Bob.
Yeah, comics that we all grew up on, but like stuff from like the 60s and 70s, they were just drawn by, you know, a bunch of lumpy Jews who were, do you know what I mean? Where they were just doing this shit.
They were
for
just
like,
glad they weren't shooting Nazis anymore.
Right? It was a paycheck, you know, so a lot of these guys didn't care about the material. John Buscema, one of the best Avengers artists of all time, hated superheroes and came up with some of the best Avengers stuff, but it's like, you know, so then, but there's no one is working in comic books anymore who doesn't like comic books. And that wasn't the sense years ago. And I think now it's like, it's a fan-driven, fan-run entity.
Right, and I think a lot of these properties are doing that. You know what, I'm staring it right in the face. I can't believe we haven't brought up the biggest reboot in sci-fi history is Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Doctor Who is back so big. And in fact, I saw some articles today. This is the 10-year anniversary of the reboot of Doctor Who.
Oh, God.
Christopher Eccleston was Doctor Who
10 years
ago.
That's why I didn't even think of it. It's been 10 years. That's, to me, it's reboot is in the past.
Right, yeah. And it's bigger than it was. I wasn't interested in the original Doctor Who, and I think it started about 10 years before I was born. I could have watched it my whole childhood. I didn't care.
Yeah.
I would see it now and then and not like it.
Yeah, because it was on TV like around the time like you would be watching like Star Trek, right?
So it's and I liked Star Trek, but I didn't like Doctor Who.
Yeah, and it was kind of like the same. Well, maybe the budgets weren't the same, but I know
Doctor Who was cheaper. But I liked Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, and it's like in the
same
kind of...
And they used Doctor Who sets, and Douglas Adams wrote for Doctor Who. But the new series, I mean, it took me a while to get into it, but the new series I love, my kids love. I'd say there are probably more Doctor Who fans... at least in America, now, than there were when the original series ran.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly now.
Yeah, it's like
that never would have happened.
Merchandising for that show alone is insane.
Yeah.
You know?
It's as big as Star Trek.
Yeah.
So that's, sometimes it works. And, you know, they talk about superhero reboots. I don't believe in superhero reboots because people could say, oh, you know, Nolan rebooted Batman after Schumacher. But in my mind, Batman comes out every single week.
Yeah.
You know, and there's Batman comes out every week as a comic. There are TV shows on pretty much all the time. Maybe there's a 2-year break, but we've had like uninterrupted Batman shows since the 90s.
Yeah.
Well,
Batman just exists.
Doctor Who and superhero reboots are divergent from what the X-Files can do because with Doctor Who, the Doctor regenerates into a new young actor.
Right.
And Batman can be played by whomever.
Yeah, Batman is eternally young. He always has to be in that certain age group. But like
Well, Batman is James Bond. You recast him and everybody goes, sure.
Yeah.
Nobody asks why he's
But if
a new
someone
guy.
Else was Scully, I fully admit I'd flip out.
the fan revolt would be,
And that's what happened. I remember Chris Carter at the time of those seasons. I think it's funny that the whole podcast has been about the bad seasons of the X-Files. I remember Chris Carter saying in interviews, oh, well, really, this the X-Files is like CSI. It's just about people that It's about FBI agents that go after the supernatural. So you know what? Now it's Robert Patrick and Annabeth Gish, and he fully
and the
intended.
Fandoms went no.
Yep. Yeah. He fully intended that to run 20 years and just keep switching out the two agents.
Yeah,
and yeah, fans would.
They didn't.
You can't do that many seasons with one pair though, and expect.
Yeah,
them. And
it really. Yeah, it's almost like you have to tweak it every season a little bit. Right. So it's like it's little increment changes you don't really notice. You know, but you don't put David Duchovny on a show for 10 years or 8 years or whatever it was, and then pull him out and then be like, yeah, it's still the same look, here's a different dude. It's like, no one's gonna go for
you
that.
You can't have a cast that small either.
And they were so
and
personally
replace them and think nobody's gonna notice.
Yeah. They were so personally invested. Fox Mulder was looking for his sister. Scully, you know, had alien cancer, essentially. Like, you don't want to hear someone else's story, even the love story that was ongoing.
Yeah.
Some people say, because it was such a slow burn, that The X-Files was one of the most amazing love stories in sci-fi, because
and
it
was
takes
a slow
forever.
Burn because the writers didn't want it to happen.
Right, they avoided
they
it.
They wanted it to be a professional relationship. They wanted it to be
a
procedural.
Yeah, but fans never go for that stuff. Look at how often they did that on 30 Rock, where they're like, Tina Fey's character and Alec Baldwin, it's like they kept saying, no, make them together, and they were like, no, that would never happen.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no
and
sense.
And they were great about doing that, where they were like,
they make jokes
about it
constantly.
They kept writing in jokes about how they were physically disgusted by each other.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why I end up believing Mulder and Scully as a pair, is because they didn't fall in love in a weird, like, 2-hour movie way. It was over their lives.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was based in trust, which is the best way to have a relationship.
Right. This is, every successful relationship.
But So the anticipation begins. I believe it's going to be 2016. It's not even written yet, but just everyone has signed the contracts to do it.
Ugh.
So we'll see. You know what?
I don't know if I could sign a contract before I knew what the story was.
That's what I would
be.
Say. I would refuse if I was David Duchovny or whoever these other people. I'd be like, oh, do you have a script? No, man, fuck it. But it's like, I'm going to sign
call
on
me
to
in
do
a
some
year.
Piece of shit thing.
Well, how about this, Lauren? Why don't you come back when it's on?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll do a follow-up.
There you go, when the first episode airs.
Yeah, or the last.
Or the last.
And we'll talk
do a
about,
recap.
We'll talk about how well it lived up to this podcast. But Lauren, how can people find you?
Absolutely. You can go to chicagonow.com and search Geek. My website is Geek Girl Chicago. I'm also Geek Girl Chicago on Facebook and Twitter.
And you're super busy. You're going to be at all the cons.
Yeah, C2E2 is coming up, Anime Midwest is coming up, and tonight I'm actually going to see, I guess, my fellow podcaster here at the Game of Thrones bar crawl. So we recorded early because I'm so busy. Thanks, guys.
Hey, no problem.
I will be at a Benihana's in Lombard celebrating my wife's birthday.
Yay!
That's what I'm doing.
That's nice.
Happy birthday, Renee. Yeah. Woo!
And you can follow me in on my book. That is the official Caffeinated Comics Twitter feed. Like us on Facebook. That's pretty much where all the news stories happen. That's where we.
That's where I get all my news from.
That's where we broke the X-Files news just a couple of days ago. Leave us a review if you like it. Leave us a comment on Facebook. Write us a review on iTunes. We always like hearing from people. Listen to us on Stitcher. We're on Stitcher.
Ooh.
If you hate iTunes, like Bill Monroe hates Apple,
right?
You can go to caffeinatedcomics.blogspot and listen to it directly. You can listen to us on Stitcher. We're trying to work on some other avenues to get it out there because Apple can't own everything.
That's
and
right.
Steven?
I'm at 19 South LaGrange Road, Camaras Comics.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.